Blessed be your name. Our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, the Lord who called all of us by name, the Lord who loved all of us first, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you decided that we will worship your name today.
Amen.
Without your grace and mercy in our lives, O Lord, there is none can stand in thy presence.
Yes,
blessed be your holy name, Lord, for you are gracious to all of us today. You are merciful to all of us today. Lord, the way you love us, it humiliates us, the way you love us, Lord. We are washed by your love. We are washed by thy blood, the precious blood of the Lamb that was slain for all our sins and iniquities. Forgive us, Lord. May you forgive our trespasses, Lord. We are not worthy, Lord, but you called us, all of us, to live the life worthy of thy calling. Worthy is the Lamb that is slain for all the sins and iniquities, Lord. You are worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, Lord. We are weak, but thou art strong. We are sinners, but thou art holy. You call all of us to be holy, Lord. You call all of us to be perfect in the Word. Back to the Word, the pure Word of God, not the words of men. Help us, Lord, to honor thy presence. Bless us, Lord, to show the reverence in our life. Not in our lips, but in our life. Bless us, Lord, to understand that it is you, all in all, in all our lives, in everything happens in this world right now, that Lord, you are in complete control. You are in complete control, for you have overcome the world. May you bless us, Lord, to desire for the purpose that you put in all our lives and to run the race according to your will and pleasure. It is a one-to-one relationship, Lord, that we must deny ourselves and let the Spirit examine our hearts and to carry our cross, what you did on Calvary, Lord. May you bless us never to forget in our life. Help us, Lord, to remain humble as we walk closely with you, to remain sincere as we work in thy field, to remain steadfast, immovable, holding on to the unwavering faith, the unwavering truth that cannot be shaken by any storm, any pain, not even by death. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you appointed in our life. And Lord, we call it the appointed time of life, for we are here to receive the words of life. Speak to us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, to receive what you want us to receive. Bless us, Lord, to understand what you want us to understand. It's a process of pruning, process of edification, encouragement, strength, chastening, washing, purging, all at once. As we soak ourselves in the river of Jordan, as we soak ourselves in thy presence, wash us thoroughly, Lord. The bride must be ready, for the groom is coming. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we surrender all of us, and this time for the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for today. We thank the Lord for the Lord is fighting the battle before us, behind us, watching over us, that we will not be perished. Amen. There are works always going on relentlessly for children of God to be perished. Confusion, misunderstanding, weariness of mind, not just flesh. Weariness of the heart, not just your body. The Lord is shielding us, protecting us, for you and I, the children of God, all the true worshippers of God, called according to his purpose, are sealed by the Holy Spirit, by the promise of the Lord, unto the day of redemption. If I want to go out of the seal, I'm lost. If I want to be free in the world by not remaining as the prisoner of Christ, then we will enter into captivity. Amen. There is liberty in the prison. There is freedom in the prison. And that prison belongs to the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David, whom we serve, the Alpha and Omega. And that prison, my brethren, is always, we are bound to the Word of God. Amen. We can't do anything other than the Word of God. We are not supposed to do anything outside the Word of God. That prison is a very strict prison. If I turn left, I turn left. If I turn right, I turn right. But the Lord called all of His children to be rooted as the trees of righteousness by the side of river, the sweet river of life. He is all. He is all. He is the one who sowed the seed. He is the one who watered the plant. And He is the one who shined the sunlight. And He is the one watching over the garden. He is all. He is the river. He is the fountain. He is the rock. He is the mountain. He is the song of our salvation. He is all. And He washed your feet. And He washed my feet. And He washed all of us by the blood that was shed in Calvary. As we embrace the mind of Christ in our life, soaking ourselves in the depths of His love, where we are lost. We can't see anything but Him. We are lost in His love. Previously we were lost in the love of the world, and He came and found us. Then He released us into another version where we are lost in His love. Lost in His love. May the Lord bless us to remain in that state, that we are lost in His love. What the Lord did on Calvary, the blood that was shed on Calvary, the pain that was endured from that day, from that moment, He decided, let thy will be done. When He submitted with perfect submission, He showed us, what do you mean by perfect submission? That pain, that sacrifice, that shame, that insult, all the flesh of this world who touched Him, beat Him, crucified Him on the cross for our sins and iniquities is forgotten in most of the times of our life. Because we always want to be happy, we don't want to rejoice. If I simply say, the Lord saved me, the Lord saved me, I have the power of the Holy Ghost, I have this fruit, I have this gift, I can do all things by the name of the Lord, tread over the serpents, doing this, doing that, I can serve the Lord sincerely, this and that. Over time, we get so happy, so excited, and we take what happened on Calvary for granted. The Lord is life. He will resurrect. Nobody is stopping Him. He knows He will go through all the pain. Then He will just go descend into Sheol. Then He will come and He will spend time with the disciples. After 40 days, He will be ascended into heaven. It's all planned. It's all planned. That single statement, what He uttered from the cross, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? Do we have answer? Do I have answer? There was silence in the heaven and in the earth. The question was so powerful, until today, none of us can answer. None of us can pay the price back to the Lord. We can only pay our life as a living sacrifice. Still not sufficient. Never will be sufficient. And the Lord sent the plague to kill all the firstborn in Egypt. Not just man and the beast. Amen. The firstborn of all. And the doorpost on which the blood was applied, whoever inside, whether you are worthy or not, sincere or not, healed or sick, strong or weak, if you are inside the doorpost, you will survive the plague. Amen? If someone inside the house thinking that there are 50 people inside, but nobody is on par with me. I have served this and that to the Lord. I did this and that to the Lord. I was so sincere all my life. But look at this. This man, this woman, there is no goodness that can come from this flesh. If the Lord blessed a man, a woman, a brother, a sister, a saint, an apostle, a prophet, or a king, a scribe, a builder, any role that he can take in the scripture, the Lord is good. And he decided to do good through that vessel. And the vessel is humbled by the love that humiliated the vessel. Amen. The Lord decides and tells all of us, none of us are worthy. Can we forget this fact? None of us are worthy. We were all sent and destined to die. We were born dead and live for a while to fulfill the time of death. A child is born to die. Correct? Death is born to die. The scripture says we were walking dead. Walking dead. Until the true life that is given to us, we are not alive. And we say, Lord, we are alive in your word. We see life in your word. But can we be so excited? How it was given to you. How the Lord gave that life to you. How he opened the door to that tree of life which was sealed in the Garden of Eden. How he did it. He allowed his blood to be shed. And he prepared that time, that moment, that day for thousands of years. And he protected that family line and preserved that seed, that bloodline, even in flesh, because he created us in flesh, in soul and spirit as a whole. He must fulfill his promise in every single thing. Adam, first Adam, living soul, the last Adam, the quickening spirit, and the Lord called all of us, your flesh is willing, the spirit, your flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. But oftentimes our flesh is willing, the spirit is weak. You know, that's the truth. The spirit is weak, the flesh is willing. But the Lord says, it's an inverse proportion, reverse it. Flesh is weak, spirit is willing. And he showed this on cross. He showed this on Calvary. May the Lord bless us as we are about to read the words of life for what he did. And the wrath of all supposed to fall on our head. And he moved us and took our position. You know, the leaders of this nation, they always have some people who are like their impersonators. They look like them. So that there is a gunshot, there is a terrorist attack, they will die. No, the real man will escape. Or there will always be a wall of security guards, SWAT cats, whatever you call it. They will go and put their life online, so the bullet will not go and hit the leader. They will die. They are paid to die. All the soldiers fighting the battle on the border for every single nation, they are paid to die. The family do not know if they would return. I don't know if you have any of your relatives who are in this army, fighting battle. Not in the army, fighting battle. My uncle survived many gun wounds in the Kargil War, 1990s. He got retired. He was a military officer. I learned what happened to a life of a soldier by looking at him. Because I can't simply understand from the newspapers. I have seen a life in my life. Learn from him. Can that money is sufficient for him to go and say, it's okay, this salary is sufficient for me to take risk, to lose my life. Let my wife and children suffer. No. There is something beyond that salary. There is something beyond that reward. There is something beyond that monetary gain. The gain of something. He must love that nation, truly, to the point that it is okay. If one die, 10 saved, it's worth it. The true soldiers who fight the battle for the nation, the passionate one, those who have the love for the nation, they always go to the battle not for the gain of this flesh. They think, they believe, if one man die, two live, then that death is worth. on Calvary what the Lord did. We must understand the scripture. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? That scripture is fulfilled on the cross. After 4,000 years of preparation, He just fulfilled all on one single day, my brethren. He won't linger. We may feel like 2,024 years, come on, Lord, why are you waiting? He is not waiting. He is gracious. He is looking for His souls to be redeemed. He is waiting for the last sheep to enter the territory of His strong tower. Then we will see Him, who He is. Everything that He reserved so far, He can't cause any unbalance, unforgotten iniquity in His judgment. Everything will be remembered. It just He chose to give some time. Now this time, we must embrace it in reverence and honor and the burden for the souls who do not know the Lord yet. The wrath of God, not the wrath of men, the wrath of the world, the wrath of power, the wrath of principalities, that is nothing, that doesn't stand a chance against the wrath of God. What we are meditating by God's grace is how I should protect my heart, the tabernacle, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the wall around it. Amen? So we study what happened to Nehemiah and those people around him, how the Lord dealt with them, and how I can apply to my heart, apply the blood on my doorpost. Then we studied on Hezekiah, the king who was in charge of protecting the people from the adversary. Sennacherib came. He could not penetrate the wall. He could not release a single arrow inside the city. The Lord destroyed the adversary outside the wall. But inside the tabernacle, the Lord did not send angel. Outside the tabernacle, the Lord sent angel. Inside the tabernacle, the Lord told Nehemiah, you should do the cleansing. I am with you. I spoke to you. I spent time with you. You pray to me. You are in me. I am in you. You do the work of me. Outside the wall, the Lord sent the angel to destroy all the enemies of Sennacherib. Then we studied on what happened to the sons. Aaron lost his two sons, held his peace. Prophet Eli lost his two sons, could not hold his peace. He fell backwards, broke his neck and died. And the Lord dealt with Korah, Dathan, Abiram and the 250 who stood with them, thinking that they can rebel against Moses, the servant of God. And Moses pled to the Lord for them, but yet the Lord had to bring His judgment upon them to protect the children. Amen? He was not showing some mere demonstration of, see how powerful I am. You see, I can devour them, I can open the earth, I can send the brimstones of fire. Did you all see my power? He's not showing His power. He's showing His love for that children, not to be influenced by such evil thought. But He warned them. In all the things God had performed, my brethren, He gave a crystal clear warning to all His children, even the enemies. He said in the book of Ezekiel, prepare yourself, gather your teams, I'm coming. The Lord warned the children, the Lord warned the enemies through His children, through His works. That warning tells all of us how righteous He is. He's not going to come like a thief when He attacks you, but He will come like a thief when He opened the door, when He knocked the door. But even that, He told us already, I will come as a thief. He didn't hide it. God told Abraham, Abraham, my friend, is there anything I can hide from you? When the scripture says, Apostle Paul wrote this, we must love each other indeed in truth because the Lord loves us in the same way. He did not hide anything from His friends. He told the disciples, I called you as my servant, but yet I call you as my friends. That friendship, my brethren, that friendship will be forgotten if you forget Calvary. David will forget the friend Jonathan if he forget why Jonathan died. True friendship is the beauty of true fellowship. God met Adam in the garden, speaking with him. God saw Adam was alone. He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. God did everything for him, for his children, for his loved ones, for his household, to feel how much he loves us, and we love him with the same love. Amen? Amen. Now, on Calvary, what our Master did, we are learning from different characters from the scripture, from the times of Abraham, and even the time of Noah, the Lord destroyed all the flesh. Let's go from here. Noah, the Lord destroyed all the flesh, redeemed one family of eight. Then the Lord confounded the people who were building the Tower of Babel. He scattered them. Then from the family of Shem, he called Abram. Then he called him Abraham. Then he gave him promised son Isaac. Before that, the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah after he gave the promise to Abraham under the cherubim trees. Sarah was sitting inside the tent, and the two angels and Abraham was standing before the Lord. Amen? So we studied on what happened on Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened to Lot as a person. Our main desire is to reflect our life upon all these scriptures. What is there for me to learn spiritually? What is Lot is teaching me? What is Abraham is teaching me? What the sons of Aaron teaching me? What Nadab Abihu teaching me? What Phinehas teaching me? All the names in the scripture, what they are teaching me. So that I can guard my heart, guard my mind, keep myself sealed by the Spirit of the Lord. Because I am sealed unto the day of redemption. I must preserve myself. The Lord never appointed us to wrath. Amen? The very first verse we started the sermon months ago. Children of disobedience appointed for the wrath of God. Children of God, the Lord never appointed them to wrath. But yet, He made them to experience how His wrath tastes like. I can never teach my son, if you touch the fire, it will hurt your skin. Unless, until the day he touch it and feel by himself. Experience. Hearing the truth in the faith, but it is not fully manifested yet until I do the work. Amen? So now, Nehemiah, Hezekiah, sons of Moses, sons of Aaron, the sons of Prophet Eli, and what happened to the rebellion against Moses, we focus on when God intervened by himself, he came down and he cleansed. And when God used his children to cleanse. Amen? You could see the division very clearly. Nabal was struck by the Lord himself on the 10th day, not 7, because the number 10 and the number 7, it has a huge spiritual significance in our life. Amen? 10, 7. So now, 10th day, the Lord struck Nabal, who was filled with wickedness. Nabal died. And Abigail, the beautiful woman, was given to David. But Uriah was killed by a man, a servant of David, Joab. Likewise, we saw what happened to Amnon, what is going to happen to Absalom today. And to draw the line, these are the things the Lord destroyed by himself. The Lord struck Uzzah. He did not send anyone to kill Uzzah. But Phinehas threw the spear to put an end to the abomination. Why the Lord is doing things in various ways? Sometimes He speaks. Sometimes He let the children do the job. Sometimes He sends Moses to go and do the cleansing in and out. 3,000 put to death. Sometimes He opened the earth and devoured them. Sometimes He sent the fire and devoured them. But if you draw the line clearly, there are things God destroys by Himself, not using any vessel. And there are things the Lord destroys by His vessels. That line, my brethren, you can draw from Genesis to Revelation. It's a straight line, not crooked. Straight line. He is the same. Forever. Amen. Now, today, by God's grace, we will continue on the life of David that is teaching us, because Jesus always identified himself as the son of David. Amen. Book of Ezekiel taught us David is called the prince forever. The shepherd of Israel. So, we understand the promise behind the name David, because the Lord even told Hezekiah and all the other kings of Judah who came later on, for the sake of my servant David, I'm not destroying Israel. For the sake of my servant David, I'm not destroying Israel. He was uttering the name of David. for the kings to come later. In the midst of Jerusalem is falling down. The servant name was remembered. Amen. So, by God's grace today, we will complete the relationship between Absalom and David. I'm not going to focus on Ahinojah and all. We just be very focused. Absalom and David and the role of Joab in between. And what Solomon did, the son of David, what he did when he took over the throne. The Lord did not establish his kingdom until the son fulfilled the word of the father. It may sound violence, but I pray, do not look at the flesh and blood. Look at what the Lord did in the life of his servants. As they were making mistakes, the Lord remained righteous. Amen? David made mistake, fell. Solomon made mistake, fell. Every servant of God, they were imperfect in their own way because they are not the complete manifestation of God's word. It is him, the Alpha and Omega, who did all on Calvary. Amen? Let's turn to our scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 16 verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 16 verse 5. So let's refresh our mind. We stopped where David escaped from the city and walked through the valley of Kidron, the brook of Kidron. Thank you, brother. So that is where we stopped when the king passed over the brook of Kidron in barefoot with all the people. Amen? With all the people. Is it okay? Okay. The king himself, that is a very, very important word for us to remember. The king himself washed your feet. The king himself walked on Calvary for you. The king himself call himself, I am the servant. The king himself came and died, suffered, endured the shame for us. King himself, because only himself can do it. So David is simply teaching us what happened in his life. He was imperfect. The Lord is dealing with him by the prophet Nathan who blessed him and the same prophet who cursed him. Remember? It was the same prophet whom the Lord gave covenant to David. In chapter 7, same prophet in chapter 12, the Lord sent Nathan to also curse David and the house of Judah. Now, David is basically going through the fulfillment of God's wrath upon his life. He must fulfill. Now, what he should do, in the midst of going through all this persecution, the consequences of his own action, he must remain humble. Amen? He must make sure that his feet is shod with the preparation of peace. Because he is nowhere in a position to ooze violence. Remember? Because now he is in a valley, not in the mountain. Remember this. Now David is going and Ittai is proclaiming his loyalty, his faithfulness to the king of Israel. David is telling him, please escape. Anything can happen to me. And Ittai says, no Lord, I die with you. Whatever happens, I stand with you. I walk with you. So Ittai showed his loyalty to the king David when the king was thrown into valley, not when he was on the mountain. It is true, right? In all your life, you can close your eyes, you know who is your true friend. In your family, in your workplace, the one who stands with you when you are down, broken, when you are wrong, when you are in the worst state of your life, the one who loves you, speaks to you the same way he has been all his life, he is your true friend. And the one comes to your face to face and tell you, my friend, you are wrong. The one who do not hesitate to speak the truth, he is your true friend. Because he don't care about what you think. He cares about what is going to happen to you. So David had true friends. The Lord did not make David to go helpless after he took Jonathan. The Lord who took Jonathan, he was keep on replacing all the support, all the tools, all the people whom he needs in his life throughout. That's why the people, the God whom we serve, he reminds us, children of God lack nothing throughout the wilderness. His grace is sufficient, nothing more, nothing less. If you believe, you know what is contentment. It's just, we don't experience the contentment when we are greedy, because your expectation is here, I want to be here. But the Lord says, for now, you duck your head. because arrows are being thrown here and there. You'll get killed. And we say, no. How can I bend my head? I prefer to stand firm. I'm a servant of God. I'm a child of God. I must be bold, confident. David ran away from King Saul. The same David who stood against the entire army of Philistines. You run when God tells you to run. You walk when God tells you to walk. You stand when God tells you to stand. But we never take one step back from our faith. Either we stand or we move forward. Never, ever we go backward. Amen? Because the grace is moving forward. So, David is holding his possession of the fulfillment of God's word in his life. Because chapter 12 slapped David with a curse. But in chapter 7, he has promise. Amen? So, the Lord gave promise before he sent the curse and rebuking. The Lord knows all what's going to happen in his life. So, now David has to hold on to the umbrella and go through the acid rain. Stay calm. Accept what's happening to him because he's paying the price of what he did. He's not the savior of Israel. He did mistakes. Amen? He did mistakes. And Apostle Paul tells all of us, I'm the chief of sinners, because he saw Stephen killed tragically in front of his eyes. He didn't feel anything. He still wanted to remain as a faithful servant to his employer. He was very fervent, very zealous to the employer. But he could not see. When the Lord opened his eyes, whatever Saul did will make Saul to remain humble so that Apostle Paul can be exalted to glorify the name of the Lord. But the spirit is willing. The flesh of Paul is always humbled because of what he did. Never forget your past. We don't keep our past to make us weary, but we remember our past to know how gracious he is, how merciful he is, and how humble you should be. Amen? How humble you should be. That's why David is a humble servant of God. He's accepting everything. Now, David passed through the valley of Kidron. Now, things are going to change. Absalom is on the throne. And we studied what happened to the concubines left by King David, what Absalom did because of the counsel of Ahithophel. Amen? We studied this. Now, I will just go one step back to see what is happening to the life of David in the midst of all of this. Chapter 16, verse 5, introduces a character which I brought forth last Sunday. Verse 5. And then King David came to Bahurim. Behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Again, another man is coming all the way from the house of Saul. Saul died, but the house of Saul is still there. Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. So try to visualize this scene just for us to understand. He's coming cursing. He's cursing and coming. He's walking towards David or near David, but he didn't wait until he come closer to David, but he don't waste time. He keep cursing him as he coming. Cursing David as he came. And he cast stones at David. So casting stones is not new. Ever since when the Lord brought forth the laws in the wilderness, what Moses and Aaron, how they control the people of Israel, don't do this, don't do that, if you do this, you will get this punishment, this and that. That stoning to death was still kept, even until the book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned to death. Amen? So, he cast stones at David. And at all the servants of King David, not just David, but all the servants of King David. Remember what Jesus said, they hated me first before they hated you. Amen? If someone throws stones at you, they threw the stone at me first before they threw at you. As long as you remain as my child, as long as you remain as my servant in my truth, holding on to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? That's a promise. So David is experiencing all of this. Now we have to understand the consequence from the life of David and from those around him. Because the stone was aimed for David, but it was also thrown at the servants of David. When the leader is attacked, all the followers are also guilty. So all the followers are represented by one single leader. Amen? So now, stones cast at David and the servants of King David. You see the words, how the words change. Stones cast at David and the servants of King David. Now the king comes. Why? The servants are identified through the King David. Amen. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So there were some people on his right and there were some people on his left. And thus said Shimei, then he cursed, "Come out, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And all the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." If I read the same verse, if Absalom in the place of David, if David is seated at the throne, you would say, Shimei, the prophet, speaking the words of life, speaking the truth so bravely against Absalom, who is running away from David. But the whole scenario changes upside down, because now David is in the valley, Absalom is in the throne. Father in the valley, son on the throne. Now Shimei, he is not worshipping any other god, my brethren. We have to be very careful here. He is not Sennacherib, correct? He is not even Solomon, who was worshipping gods of heathen. But Shimei, he is cursing David in the name of the Lord. He says, "How dare you, David? You went against the Lord and you took the throne of Saul." So he is a follower of Saul. He believes God's hand is upon Saul, and the house of Saul believes the Lord, worship the Lord, praise the Lord, please the Lord. David is the one who is at fault now. So he is coming to teach a lesson to David. Was Shimei a king? Answer me. Was Shimei a king? No. The scripture says, "Oh, there comes a man from the house of Saul and come and throw stones on King David of Israel." So he is rebuking the king, telling him, "You are wrong, you did this, you did that." David is already broken. He is not going to tell Shimei, "No, you are wrong." He is remembering his past. "Why I killed Uriah? Why I chose alliance with Joab, the sons of violence? I cursed them." David cursed Joab and his family before, when Abner was killed. Remember, we studied all of this, every verse. Do not forget. Your flesh will make you to forget everything. Abner was murdered by Joab, and David cursed the family of Joab in chapter 3 and 4. The same David worked with Joab later on. Not possible. The righteousness of David was lost in between. Why? For the love of the lust. For the love for the woman whom you want to take. Now, David is a broken man, a broken king. He is remembering what he did to be in such situation. So he's going through the process of healing, understanding, repentance. A very good state, because David is going to grow. Amen? David is going to grow. But now, who can disturb David? Philistines? Ammonites? Amalekites? Nobody can stand a chance against David. They would run away from him the moment they see him. He destroyed them left and right, brethren. Enemies, they were running away from David. Mighty king. Nobody will come near to him. Now, Shimei is throwing stones. No? Like in all our lives, people throw words at you. They throw words at you. They throw their actions at you. They throw their face reaction to you. You are getting hit. Now, there is a learning process. And David tells himself, "I deserve this." There is no other way David can remain contented seeing what is happening around him unless he accepts the Lord's hand upon his life. "I fall into the hands of the Lord. I deserve this." Do you say, "I deserve this" when things go wrong in your life? Are you sure? Be sincere. Do we say in our life, "Lord, this happened in my life. I deserve this"? But no, 99.99% times, we will feel, "I don't deserve this." If I say, "I don't deserve this," God left his throne of righteousness for a while. He forgot. Sorry, my son. Oh, I just slept for a moment. Something happened to you. Let me go and correct it. God who keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber. If you feel something happened to you, you don't deserve it, you tell the Lord you slept. Never say that. Even if your mind cannot understand what happened to me, why is happening, just ask the Lord, Lord, you are holy and righteous in all your works, all your ways. I am part of your work. For that reason, may you bless me with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You don't need answer. You need understanding. Amen? Understanding is peace. So, as I said, 12 years ago, when I was 12 years old, when I had this tumor, you know, my father is the only person who never gave up. 4 months, my father was driving me to hospital after hospital, 24 years ago. In all parts of India, South India, even to the Kerala state, he was driving here and there, relentlessly, on unpaid leave. Every single doctor that we saw, they said it is a cancerous tumor. You must remove it. You must remove it. Because the tumor is growing, it's going to hit my throat. I can't speak. And every single experience that they rebuked my father, you should not delay the surgery. Do it quick. But if I do the surgery, there will be a small kind of missing flesh on my throat. Let's say put it, like an uneven shape, like a big tumor was taken out. So you will see the scar. Completely, some half of my throat is kind of you know, taken out. Look very ugly. Not that. The doctor said, there is a risk of your son may lose his voice. So my father had to sign the surgery, what you call, acknowledgement form. But my father did not believe it is not cancer. It is not cancer. My son is not going to die. Nothing will happen to him. He was so relentless. Never give up. Those times, he was a very different person. So, he didn't tell me that all the doctors are telling it's a cancerous tumor. He was hiding the truth from me because I'm so young. I would be broken. I told him my testimony. I overheard. I was so sneaky. I overheard what they were talking in the night, 2, 3 a.m. Then I went and I was actually bragging my friends, you know, it could be cancer, you know. Could die, you know, take chocolate, I'll be a good person. You know, I was just playing sympathy to my own self. That's what the flesh will do. Sometimes you use your sickness to bring some sympathy. Hey, you know, can you please feel sorry for me? Oh, so painful. You see, I have this tumor. Do not play sympathy with your sickness. A thin line. If the Lord take his hands off, you're gone. So, I was a kid. The Lord was merciful to me. So, I was so sad. After 4 months of here and there, tossed and fro, my father did not give up. He would keep on delaying the surgery. My tumor was growing day by day. Then, by God's grace, he saw a doctor accidentally on his way. And that doctor said, let's do a biopsy. And that time, the technology was not that advanced as we see today, 24 years ago. And the result came out after 3 weeks, inconclusive. They don't know what it is. And that doctor gave a try to give me some iodine deficiency, some tablet. 50 cents, you know, the price of the tablet. And my parents spent almost all their savings for checking what it is, visiting doctors, consultation after consultation. They lost all their savings. But the solution of the sickness was a 50 cent tablet. So that's why my scar on my neck. So, everyone gave up except my father. He stood. He believed the Lord would do something to my son. Now, what if it was a cancerous tumor and I lost this, I can't speak, whatever. But that love the father showed me on that day. Amen? If I truly realize now, if I truly understand what God showed me through his vessel, through his son, through my father, then that is the true healing of my life. Not the doctor who saved me. But the love, steadfast love, my father showed me. No, I am not accepting this. No means no. Even if something goes wrong, that faith, that love is the healing that I must take from that experience and live my life. Amen? Our body can die. We can go through all sickness. Do not take God for your general practitioner or a specialist. He is not here to heal all our sicknesses. He used your sicknesses to bless you to come back to senses, to see him. No matter how much healings we receive, my brethren, let's accept the fact this flesh will die. You will die if he comes after you die. If not, we won't die. But one way or other, sickness is called sickness. It's not darkness. It's okay. That is the growth of faith the Lord wants us to embrace. We cannot remain treating Him as a specialist doctor who will do all the scans in your body and heal you the more you go near to Him. He will do that if there is a fruit to it, if there is a profit to it. Amen? Now, that relentless, my God whom I serve is righteous, so I deserve this. That faith, even when your flesh tells you, you don't deserve this, you say, I deserve this. Why? Something the Lord has planned. Something the Lord will do. Because I believe in the word of God, I have not done anything without the cause. I am the cause. I am the purpose in the kingdom of God. So He is doing something in my life and I worship the Lord for a purpose, whatever it is. God did not deliver John the Baptist, the voice in the wilderness. Do you remember how much people would have insulted him? Oh, this man baptizing all in the river of Jordan, you know what happened to him? This Herodias, you know, the woman, Philip's wife, he deceived the husband, the king, Herod. He married him and his daughter danced and she was able to take the head of John the Baptist. I told you, he is not the one sent before to prepare the way of the Lord. You know how deceiving it is? People can be deceived. You know, seventh messenger, he was preaching all of this and that. You know how he died? Car crash. See, the Lord took him. You can say so many things. Because the Lord is confirmed in the world. Only the children of God can see. If the Savior can die on the cross, anything can happen to the children of God. Absolutely anything. You cannot simply say, Lord, you already died on the cross, you know. You already went through all this pain, shame, you know. So that I won't have to go through all of this. That is the prosperity of Christianity that we see today. The Lord says, endure my fellowship of my sufferings. Be like me. That is how He's separating my brethren. Now you, put yourself, I can't say, in the shoes of David. Why? He's barefoot now. So put yourself in the place of David, what he's experiencing. Because there is no sandal. He's walking barefoot. Amen? Read this. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. Verse 7, he's calling David, come. Come out. Come and say something to me. Come and curse me. Come and judge me. Come and kill me. I want you to be a murderer. I want you to execute judgment when you are not righteous. Shimei is inviting David. Shimei was a trap. He was a trap. In the 40 days of fasting, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Can Satan go stand against the Lord? No. The Satan is trying to put himself as a trap for the Lord to say something that is not in the perfect will of God. That is the only desire of the principality. To make the Son of God, the sons of God, the daughters of God, to do something, say something against the perfect will of God. So, they are on a suicide mission, my brethren. The whole world, the darkness, principalities, everything, they know they are going to face the second death. Complete destruction, done. But they are on a suicide mission. If I go down, I will take as much as I can. I go down with all. Oh, I'm going to fall. I'm going to take 1/3 of my army. I cause maximum damage. Maximum damage is the only goal. Of everything works against God. And the Lord says, yes, He is also like that. He wants to reap His harvest, which is plenteous. And He's calling His children. The laborers are few. What we say, we brag. Many are called, few are chosen. I am the few, the elite group, special people of God. We are very little, creamy layer, top of the top. So among this much billion of people, there are only few hundreds of people, they worship God in truth. We are one of them. That is the thought of all the richest people. We are going to enter, we are going to step in the mass, we are going to be the first. Special people. We are servants, not special people. So the Lord reminded us, many are called, true. Few are chosen, true. But the Lord also says, harvest is plenteous. There are many souls to be reaped. To be redeemed by the laborers of you. He is mocking, rebuking, chastening us, telling us, if you say many are called, I'm telling laborers of you. If you say, Lord, few are chosen, I'm contented. But the Lord says, I am not contented. Laborers of you, I am not contented. I am not happy. The Lord says, I want more. Harvest is plenteous. Laborers must be plenteous. 1:1. Amen? How this gap happened? Why the harvest is plenteous, laborers are few? Because people forgot Calvary. People forgot what the Lord did on Calvary. And why He did that? We take it, He did for me. That is selfish thought. He endured the cause for the joy that is set before Him. What is the joy? The joy of salvation. If we forget why the blood was shed, because of our sin and iniquity, we can easily disconnect ourselves, taking things for granted. He is the Alpha and Omega, the power of the Lord. You can just exalt Him so that you can forget Calvary. Do you see what I'm saying? When someone healed from sickness, he became strong. You say, you know how strong you are? But he went to this sickness, this pain, this pit for you. We forget that. We say, the Lord touched you. The Lord is with you. We think about good things. We speak about good things. We think it is a bad, it is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. That is the only good thing He did in our life. You are not going to give Him the power to have dominion over the heaven and the earth and the hell. He has it already. But He just wants us to give Him the water. Woman, can you give me water? I am weary handling you all. I am weary dealing with this world of flesh and wickedness. Just encourage me. Just give me some time of fellowship. Let's pray. Let's sing songs. We should understand the word of God in a way that it makes us to feel uncomfortable. Flesh must feel uncomfortable in the presence of the Holy Spirit. If not, there is no anointing. Amen? We must feel uncomfortable. There is something here. Where is it? Where is it? We go to hospital and say, doctor, please do a complete scan of my liver, my heart, my everything, so that there is no cancer, okay? I want to be healthy. God says, oh, there is a wound in your flesh, something infection. Doctor, please clean it. Don't leave a trace of infection. Clean it. Rub it. I'll learn the pain. I don't want this to spread in flesh. We stay truthful to doctor and we don't stay truthful to the great physician. We only go and tell him, I have this affliction in my body, and we share this. What about your affliction in your heart? Do we tell him, Lord, that's an infection. I will lend you the pain. Can you punish me? Do something, Lord. You know what is good. Comfort me. Have mercy upon me. Lord, may you bless me to be lost in the soul. When you do this surgery, give me some anesthesia so that I forget everything. Lost in His love. No one can endure God's chastening without the foundation which was laid in love. Amen? Amen? So, the flesh that goes and tells the doctor, I have this. The doctor will say, can you please go? I have next customer. No. You know, I sleep. I have this problem. I wake up. I have this problem. We tell all the sickness of the body to the doctor as if he's your God. But when we pray, when we confess, we keep everything in our mind and heart. What if my brother will think about me? What if my sister will think I'm weak? So the doctor has taken the predominant seat in your life more than the family of God. Don't deny. We all do this. A physician has higher seat, intimate connection with your body. But the great physician is ignored. He's still on Calvary. We crucify him. Crucifixion is not over until the last sheep enters the flock. Why? Do you really think God looks down on Stephen? Wow, my son is getting stoned. Look at the blood. Is he enjoying the show? He controls his anger. The book of Acts and all the letters Apostle Paul wrote says, what if God decided to show His head? What if? The Lord decided, I want to be gracious. I want to be merciful. He controls Himself. His people, His children keep on turning His wrath away. Lord, not now. Not now. Not now. Wait. Wait, wait. But He will remember every single thing that was done against the children. The true worshippers, the true saints. The book of Revelation says, the blood shed by saints and prophets, He will come and inquire. He will make them to drink the blood. Amen? He is so, so specific. Now, David is king of Israel. David is the servant of God. David is the prophet of God. David is also a priest of God. He is very unique in the scripture. He did all. Also a shepherd. Also a husband. Husband of a righteous woman, Abigail. Husband by taking Bathsheba, by killing righteous Uriah, becoming unrighteous husband. He is the same. Unrighteous husband, righteous husband. He played all the role that you can see. Now we read this. Now we are the David. Now read. Verse 9. Same chapter. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? See how disrespectful Abishai is speaking. Dead dog. So Shimei is a dead dog to you. He is from house of Saul. House of Saul is from house of Benjamin. House of Benjamin is from Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Benjamin is a tribe of God. One of the 12 tribes of God. So you call your brother in the blood dead dog. But he was sent by the Lord. The Lord is the one who sent all the adversaries. No one can come against David. The scripture says, thou strength will be uncovered in the day of adversity, because I, the one who sent the adversity. So Abishai says, dead dog Shimei. Remember the word dog. That name comes in the book of Revelation 2. Now we read, let me go over, I pray thee, take off his head. Herodias asking King Herod, let me go, I will go and take off the head of John the Baptist. And Herod says, no. The Lord is with him, he is just man. Then Herodias thinks, how can I deceive this man? Then she sent his daughter, go and dance, he will fall to the trap. And he fell to the trap. Head of John the Baptist was given. And Abishai is asking, I'll go and take the head of Shimei. Because he's speaking evil against king, you know. He is speaking for the king, but not in the right intent, my brethren. You know what the enemy will do? Will speak the gospel. Will speak the words of life uttered by the Lord. But with the intent of death. With the intent of destroying you. If you look at all those false prophets, denominational, big corporate companies, I can't call them as church. If the way they may speak, they will come and say, people who are sinners, they come to the church with all the filthy thoughts. They do whatever they want. They say, God loves you. They also add some tones to it. Every church, they have some different tones. So that you will always be remembered of this music voice. Wow, God loves me. I can go and kill people. God loves me. I can marry as many women I want. God loves me. God loves you is the word of God, yes. But what is the time you speak? What is the place you speak? What is the intent you speak? And what is the fruit of that speech? Decides whether you are adversary or the servant of Almighty. The time, the place, the location, the intent and the outcome decides whether you indeed a vessel of God who spoke the words of life. That's why the Lord says, ye shall know them by their fruit. Fruit is consequence, output. Fruit is the consequence of it. Do not forget the way serpent deceived Eve. He was not telling, hey Eve, no, Adam is a bad guy. Let's ignore him. Look at me, I'm so beautiful, so handsome. I can take care of him. He didn't say all this stuff. He was speaking what the Lord told her in a way with the intent of destroying her. Intent. The double-edged sword will pierce your heart, intents and thoughts, bones and marrows. Amen? Joints, it divides everything. So that the Lord can say, see you, what is your intent? What is the true intent of you worshipping me? He knows. Now look at the intent of this man, Abishai. And the king said, what I have to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah. But Abishai is the only one who spoke. But David addressed him in plural. Remember? John and Peter went into the temple, but there was singularity. They saw the lame saw unto them, but Peter was speaking, but John was combined as one, as Peter was speaking. Because they too are one spirit. Amen? Now Abishai is speaking the same way Joab would speak. Asahel was killed by Abner. Amen? Now, Joab and Abishai, they are the brothers. Brothers of violence. So when Abishai speaks, it means Joab agrees. That is why the Lord says, do not sit in the seats of scornful, because I will take you for acceptance what you are doing. No matter whoever you are, stay inside the doorpost of the blood of life. Why? Scornful cannot enter. Ungodly counsel cannot enter. So you go and hide there. The Lord, hide your soul in the cleft of the rock. Amen? Remain hidden. So, David, sons of Jeriah, I remember a father's name. Sons of the father. The iniquity of the father, the iniquity of the son. Ezekiel chapter 18, don't forget. We studied how the Lord looks at father and children. Amen? Now, David is not addressing Abishai. He says, sons of Jeriah. It's like the Lord says, sons of Aaron, sons of prophet Eli. Now we read. So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Look what David speaks. Do you have the courage and confidence to say this? Let them curse me. The Lord hath allowed them to curse me. I deserve this. David, mighty king, saying this. Let them curse me. The Lord hath told Shimei to curse me. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? You should read the book of Psalms, the same David that you see here. Then you will understand what is the intent of David writing those songs. Who am I, Lord? Who am I? Who is this David? Can build a tabernacle for you. Who am I, Lord? How can I glorify your name? Who am I? I'm not worthy, Lord. He was humbling himself to the like a dust of the earth. King David. You can see him here. He says, who am I to say this? Abishai, let him curse me. Why are you deceiving me to lose my garment? David is wearing a garment now. What the Lord is allowing in his life. Now, David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold my son. You see the words he speaks. Behold my son. He speaks the truth harshly yet in love. David did not destroy his servants in his lifetime. They were reserved for the wrath to come later through Solomon. And behold my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. You see the broken father speaking. See, my son who came from me is seeking to kill me. What else can happen to me? What worse can happen to me? Why are you comparing this when I'm going through this? Why are you comparing my valley, which the Lord is teaching me, to something that I should not focus? It's a distraction, my brethren. When you are in the valley, there are two sides. You will see mountain on your left, mountain on your right. Amen? Let's say people standing on a mountain throwing stones at you. Hey, look at me, look at me. But the Lord is telling you, look at me in the valley. I'm teaching you. I make the dry bones to come alive in the valley. I'm teaching you. I'm molding you. I'm perfecting you. Keep your eyes on me. So people on your right and left, they distract you. Look at me, curse me, kill me. On a suicide mission. But David is focusing. But there are some in the valley with David. The noise of the Shimei was multifold increased by the noise of Abishai. By telling David, let's go and kill him. You know, who are you? Hebron, the way you kill the enemies. Wow. You know, Ziklag, the way you destroy the two servants of King Ishbosheth. Beautiful. You are David. You execute judgment. You are king, man. David is not seated on the throne. He is thrown into the valley. The wife of Pontius Pilate, she waited until her husband seated on the seat of judgment. Before, and then she went and told him, I suffered by this man in my dreams. He is righteous. Time. The time when we speak tells us how much we yield to the Lord. Now, it may be, let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. He believes in all good things in the midst of being put to shame. He says, the Lord have mercy upon me. I will endure it. I will endure the chastening of God even when I'm valley, I'm standing on the foundation of his love. He endures. He says, God will have mercy upon me. He turns the curse into blessing, my brethren. Last Sunday, we mentioned the book of Malachi. The Lord says, I will take your blessing for curse. And now David says, Shimei is cursing me, I will take it for blessing because God will bless me. He will have mercy upon me. Even if you destroy me, it is better for me to fall in the hands of the Lord. Now, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and cast dust. Dust. The word dust should remind you how Adam was created from the dust of the earth. It comes all the way back in the book of Revelation later when the Lord sent the plague. He makes something from the dust. Never forget, we'll go there. So now, and the king, all the people that were with him, came weary and refreshed themselves there. Why? Because David gave them a time for refreshment by ignoring the violent advice of Abishai. David rejected the flesh advice and endured the spiritual punishment upon him. And they were weary, but there was a refreshment. You can rest in the eye of the storm. Amen? He is still in the storm. Now, after this, what happened? I'm not going to bring other characters, Ahithophel, Absalom. The Lord confounded the counsel of Absalom so that the Lord can bring only good things to come. Even if it was a good counsel, the Lord confounded it to be a bad counsel to Absalom. Why? Book of Isaiah chapter 5 tells us, woe unto him who say peace when there is not supposed to be peace, who show light when there is supposed to be darkness, who speak sweetly when it was to be spoken in a bitter fashion. The Lord says, woe unto him. Why? The Lord is at work. If you are in the Spirit of the Lord, you know exactly what the Lord is doing. Amen? So now, we move to chapter 17 verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. When I was reading this, the Lord himself accepted it was a good counsel, but he didn't like it. You can do good things. The Lord would say, I don't like it. Because what is the outcome of that good thing? Maybe a bad thing. The Lord is always about the outcome, the fruit. Ye shall know them by the fruit. So the good counsel of Ahithophel was defeated because the Lord's intent, to the intent the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Remember this verse, my brethren. The Lord wants to bring evil upon Absalom, so he defeated the good counsel of Ahithophel. Now you see, there is God of righteousness. He's still there. He's still there. The son who seek to kill the father, and the father in heaven had decided to intervene, and he decided to bring evil upon Absalom for what he did to David, what he did to Amnon, what he did to the concubines. The Lord of judgment is at work. So Ahithophel is want to do some good things by being sincere counselor to King Absalom. But that good counsel, God is not taking it. Because he decided to bring evil. If the Lord decided to burn the sons of Aaron, there is no one can stand in the gap. Moses was not there. When the Lord was about to destroy the people of Israel, Moses was there. But where was Moses when the two sons were burned to fire? Moses was not there. You can't go in front of the Lord unless the Lord wants you to stand in the gap. Never. That's why Uzzah was struck by the Lord, not by men. Whenever you see the scripture, the Lord struck, which means the Lord executed his judgment by himself. Now, let's turn to what happens. I want to focus on chapter 18, because we can't read all the verses. So now you see, David is going through this, and he has faithful people around him, and Absalom, wise counsel, is being keep on confounded by the great wise counselor. Amen? He is called the wise counselor. He will bring evil, but still he is the wise counselor. He will bring destruction, but still he is the wise counselor. Because he's all about life. Now, Absalom's counsel keep on being defeated because the Lord had sent some two spies to be there upon the request of David to go and confound Ahithophel. Now, look at chapter 18. Brother Clement, please read this for me. From verse 1 all the way to verse 9. Thank you, brother. verse 1 to verse 9, chapter 18.
And David numbered the people who were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them.
Amen.
Then David sent out one third of the people under the hand of Joab, one third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one third under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I also will surely go out with you myself. But the people answered, you shall not go out, for if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die, will they care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now, for you are now more help to us in the city. Then the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands. Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. For the battle that was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great tamarind tree, and his head caught in the tamarind, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule which was under him went on.
Absalom met the servants of David, verse 9, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of the great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. So the son of David is hanging on the great oak tree. The son of David who rebelled against David, the son of David who wanted to sit on the throne of David, now he's hanging between heaven and earth. All the power, all his servants, all his wise counselors were not there, alone, hanging. In a bad way, not in a good way. In a bad intent, not in a good intent. All on the other side of it. But that is a pattern. Amen? Now, this Absalom, countenance was so beautiful, there was no one like him. He was even more beautiful than anyone, you know, on that time. The same way Saul was described. Now, think about what David told to Shimei. When Shimei was cursing, he told about Shimei to Abishai. Amen? So David spoke to Abishai, don't hurt Shimei, let him curse me. So the king showed mercy to a person from the house of Saul. Now Absalom belongs to which house, my brethren? House of David. You know, in all your family, when you go through some problem between the four walls of your very own house, your relatives will come and throw fuel. Burn! What are you doing? Let's burn the house down. Let's make the issue to become a beautiful action movie. They will escalate those who are not in the good intent. Those who love you truly, they will stand with you in silence. And they know when to speak, they know when to keep quiet. They know how to give space. You can discern them. Those who wish good for you. We must be very wise in choosing our friends. Amen? In Christ. Now, David is going to speak to Joab now. He spoke to Abishai. But the truth is, there is no difference between Abishai and Joab. They are one. From day one, the battle of the field. Remember? Abner and Joab, they sent 12 each. The 12 young men, they came and fight, they died. All 24 were killed. Why? Because Abner wanted to show his power. Joab wanted to show his power. In the end, 24 were died because of their unfruitful anger. It didn't bring anything. What it brought? They got angry. Asahel was killed by Abner. Abner told him, don't follow me. Don't follow me. I'll kill you. Then he killed him. Then Joab developed hatred, vengeance. And he killed Abner after Abner made peace with David. That is where Joab fell. The time was wrong. Intent was wrong. Joab got it completely wrong. Now, it's the same Joab we are seeing. Same Abishai we are seeing, my brethren. They worship the same God David worshiped. They are not Sennacherib's. They are not Moabites. They are not Amorites. They are not worshipping some heathen God. They worship the same God. But yet, they drag people out of synagogue and kill people thinking that they do service to God. Can you see the verse? Jesus spoke in the book of John. You see it in the Old Testament. Now you see. Verse 10. And certain man saw it and told Job and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak." I was thinking, what if the certain man did not see Absalom? What if the certain man did not choose to say to Joab, who is full of violence, he will kill Absalom? What if that certain man went and told David, "Your son is hanging on the oak"? Unless the certain man was not led by the goodness of his heart, he just wanted to go and tell the man in charge. Because David formed three different armies. Amen? Joab, Abishai, Ittai. Only one third was given to a good man. Remember? Ittai was the loyal servant I mentioned in the brook of Kidron. Don't forget him. One third was given to a good leader. Two third was given to two brothers of violence. Not a coincidence. One third is a very important scripture for all of us to remember. One third. So, Ezekiel talks about it. Book of Revelation talks about it. It's a beautiful number. Even Lucifer, he took one third when he fell. So now, Ittai, a loyal servant, is there who will die for David. Amen? If that certain man met Ittai, "Ittai, I saw Absalom on the oak," what Ittai would do? Ittai would do what David would do. Ittai would say what David would say, because they are one. But now, the certain man went and posted the mail in a wrong address. Where? Joab. And Joab said unto the man that told him, "And behold, thou sawest him, why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." Hey, I come to think about Judas. That was 30 pieces of shekel, right? 30 pieces of some silver. Now it is 10. 10, 30. 30 is better than 10. Anyway. So, this certain man, Joab says, "I'll give you 10 shekels if you had killed him." Why you didn't kill him? You are not strong, man. Verse 12 says, "And the man said unto Joab, thou, I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware none touch the young man Absalom." Do you know what happened now? The first two verses present the certain man as if he went to Joab with the wrong intent, accidentally. But verse 3, wash him thoroughly from all things that are about to come later. And that young man, certain man says, no one can lay hand on young man Absalom. David spoke in front of you, your brother Abishai, and the other leader Ittai. I'm reminding you, I am the one the Lord sent me, Joab. You are going to get killed later. It was a warning. When David says, Shimei came to curse me, the Lord sent him. Now, this man tells Joab implicitly, the Lord sent me to give you one final warning. Don't touch Absalom. Do not lay hands on Absalom. My brethren, if the Lord wants to destroy someone, I showed you all the scriptures in the last few weeks. He can strike by himself. Nabal was struck by the Lord, not by David. If the Lord wants to strike some people by his king, he wants to show the people the king will execute judgment. David executed judgment on some people right there because he wanted them to be a sign of all the people. But now, things are escalating. Joab is being warned by that certain man out of nowhere. And he says, 10, you give me 1,000, I won't do it. But Judas was sold for 30. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. How beautiful. Pontius Pilate says, I don't want this falsehood upon my own life. I wash my hands. I gave the judgment to thee people. I am not a judge. Because there can be one judge. There can be only one judge at a time. On Calvary, people became the judge over the righteous judge. It's against God's order. It's against God's authority. He will destroy. Now, for there is no matter hid from the king. Beautiful. Nothing can hide from the King of Kings. There is nothing. There is no one can hide from the Spirit of the Lord. Wherever you go, He is there. And this servant is actually telling him, don't do this. You can't hide anything from the king. He will come to know. He will come to know. David is a prophet. He will come to know. She don't just need another prophet to come and tell him. God can speak to him. The moment the breaking is over, the moment the making is completed, God will fill him again. So now, Joab is warned so seriously, and he says, there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. You know what? You don't get to advise me. I'm Joab. King still keeps me. King still needs my help, you see. King still appointed me as a head, you see. Which means, king loves me. Although I'm very harsh, I'm very firm, king can't do anything without me. I am the mighty servant of king. The king relies on me. So all the mercy and grace David showed to Joab, it worked against Joab's own understanding. The grace and mercy of God, my brethren, is the biggest punishment can fall upon the people. Why? You will take it for granted. You will go against it. Now, Joab says, I'm not tarrying with you. I'm not going to listen to you. He took 3 dots, not 1, not 2, not 3. 3 dots in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom. He thrust 3 dots through the hearts of Absalom, hanging while he was yet alive in the midst of the yoke. He could have been saved. He was alive in the midst of the yoke. The yoke didn't kill him. The mule that fled didn't kill him. He was hanging between heaven and earth. Did not kill him. It was the 3 dots in the hand of Joab. And the mind of Joab, the flesh of Joab, the zealous service of Joab, killed the son of David. Thrust through the heart. He was killed by the servant of the king. Those who crucified your Lord, my Lord, your Savior, my Savior, the Prince of Life, are not any people who worship heathen God. They are the same people who worship the same God in different ways. And they killed him, crucified him, in the name of serving the Lord. They crucified the Prince of Life. Remember, Pontius Pilate said, I will give you this, Barabbas, take him. They said, no. We want the murderer. Kill that Prince of Life. That is who you are. That is who I am. If the Lord did not show grace and mercy, we were standing on Calvary on that day with our sins and iniquities on our hands. Only then, if you want to redeem your salvation from the Calvary where the blood was shed, you should be willing to accept your sin, your iniquity was there when you were crucified. If you want to travel back time to go and take salvation, power of the Holy Spirit, Comforter, you should be willing to go back and be crucified with Him. It works both ways. Amen? And Joab, who killed Absalom, now he speaks. The 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. David had 10 concubines. Joab had 10 men carrying his armor. 10 men. And they smote Absalom and slew him. Not just Joab, and also his 10 servants, they slew him. The servants of Joab, they became one with Joab. Good. Total 11. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. You see what he's doing. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled everyone to his tent. When they came to know the son was killed by the servant of David, they all fled to the tent. And they threw him into pit. There was one more thrown into pit. Joseph. Amen? But he was not to be killed. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is the king's dale. For he said, I have no son. Look at this. I have no son, to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called until this day Absalom's place. Last Sunday we studied the book of Malachi. The Lord says, your name shall not be remembered. Who? Those who go against the mighty hand of God. Those who go against the perfect will of God. Those who go against the work of the Lord. The Lord says, your name shall not be remembered. And the Lord says, book of remembrance is written for my children. Now, what happened to Joab? If you look deeply, the Lord just said, I will defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel because I want to bring evil upon Absalom. Who killed Absalom? Then who brought Joab upon Absalom? God. Serpent was meant to be a servant to Adam. Amen? He bring forth the fruit that was violent. Cain killed Abel. The servant of Adam did not want to remain as a servant, but rather want to take his place of the husbandman of Eve. When the servant outplays position, you go against God. Directly, one to one. He will deal with this directly. That is why Adam did not lay his hand on serpent or Cain. He, being the son of God, he focused on his duty. Be fruitful, multiply. Love your wife with all your heart and focus on your children and bring forth God's children. Forget about serpent, forget about Cain, who killed your son, who deceived your wife. Who deceived your wife, who killed your son. It was not an easy battle for Adam. He was not a robot. 930 years he was walking with this. Don't you see, he had his own Calvary, carrying his burden, but finishing the journey to die as the Son of God, knowing that serpent, that old serpent, will be judged when the Lord comes, when the last Adam comes, the quickening spirit. He will come to put an end. Adam did not take judgment on his hand because it was not given to him. David did not take judgment on his hand over Shimei because it was not given to him. He showed grace and mercy to Shimei. It was given to Solomon. The father allowed the servant to live. The son came and destroyed. Ring a bell. Lucifer fell. The Satan principalities destroying the whole world for all these years. The Father in heaven, he completely manifested his word in Christ, the only Savior. He will come and put an end to all this madness. The Son of God, the Son of David. Until then, your feet, peace, shalom. Remember the destruction. Remember the chaos. Maintain your shalom, wholeness. I am whole in flesh. I am whole in spirit. I am whole in my soul. I am whole in my heart. I am whole in my mind. Shalom. May the prophetic word of God fulfill my life. Because he promised me, I will give you rest. That is a true rest. We walk towards the hope of eternal glory. He will destroy. When he destroy, Lot must be with the two men. When he sent the fire, that family of Lot must be outside the city. When he sent the flood, that family of Noah must be inside the ark. When the plague comes in, that family of God must be inside that home, the doorpost, blood applied. No matter how weak we are, no matter how strong we are, no matter how insincere we are, we run to that house. That was a dream I was warned for 4 years ago. Run to the house. Do not soak yourself in the waters. He will destroy. He will send chaos. You can't find the boundary. Last 1.5 years, by God's grace, I am not focusing on the knowledge. I'm not focusing on the Hebrew interpretation, decoding prophecies, this and that. We will do it later as the Lord leads. But I am, by the grace of God, drawing the territory where we should be. The flock of the Lord has forgotten the territory of the God's pasture. We always focus on this green pasture. Oh, eat. Then we go and eat this. Then we don't forget what is the boundary. What is the demarcation of my nation? Foundation of God. Ark of the Covenant, now the wrath of God. We draw the boundaries. Your flesh will say, please go deeper, I want to learn. Profited nothing if we do not know the territory. You would find yourself far outside the tabernacle when he comes and destroys all. We must be inside the tabernacle. Do not seek knowledge. Seek knowing Christ. The knowledge will come later. If you want to learn something, be prepared to preach gospel to the world outside. If not, that knowledge profiteth nothing. We are drawing the boundary together. What I should do, what I should not do. Where I can go, where I should not go. What is the word of God around me? Because we forget the fact that we are prisoner of Christ, my brethren. There are walls around you. The burden in my heart is we always dance around, outside the wall, not inside the wall. Thinking, the prison of Christ is so big. It is not so big. It is narrow. Very narrow. You can't turn. You go straight. Spiritually, I'm speaking. What we think? It is good. Our church shall remain a top-notch quality of people, very small, forever. Who told you? Who told you? Harvest is plenteous. What is the meaning of plenteous? Laborers are few. What is the meaning of few? The Lord says, there is an unbalance. I'm very angry. There is a season for everything. Jesus kept a very small group of people. 12 disciples. But that 12 disciples, they shook the entire nation. In our life, we saw one apostle who taught us to be sincere. He was a human. Amen? Was he a robot or an angel? He was a man in flesh. He had his own problems, own trials, own sleepless nights because of you and me and for his own ministry. How much we can pay for sleepless nights of him? How much we can pay for the burden and pain that he went through as a family? But what we do? He was rude. He was angry. He was so harsh. True, let it be. Until the day he preached the gospel of truth, the Lord is in him, with him working. If we don't see it, there is only one person in the entire scripture who stay out of all of this and can remain perfect. Jesus Christ on the cross. Every man you see, they forsook the Lord. They fled him. They disobeyed the Lord. They hurt him. We are not perfect, but he is perfect. We look at the truth. We listen to the word. We discern the word. We see the truth. I want to ask you, would you stone me to death if I preach the same sermon for the next 40 years? Some brother sent me a message a few years ago. If the flock do not see the green pastures, they will look for some green pastures far away. They will go there. So, God is dead in his garden, so the flock will not be fed. The flock will die, so they'll be put to starve to death, and we will run to some other pasture. There is only one pasture. Which pasture are you referring to? There is only one good shepherd. Which shepherd are you referring to? The house of God is called house of prayers. I'm asking you. I'm 36. Let's say if I come, and the Lord wants to clean my heart. I have so much filthiness in me. And the Lord wants to clean my unclean lips, my unclean ears, my unclean eyes, my heart. So the Lord says, don't prepare anything. Come as an empty vessel. Come and preach. Come and speak. So when we speak, we say things. When we pray in the prayer gathering, we say things. When we testify, we say things. Not perfect. But in that imperfection, don't you see, there is a cleansing. You won't do the same mistake again. Do you know? The Lord will make you to make mistake again and again and again, refining the pure and the silver purified again and again and again. The more you speak, the more you let go. The more you spit it out. The fish had to spit out Jonah for Jonah to be alive. We can't keep it inside. The more we speak, the more the cleansing happens. What is important? The intent is important. What is the intent of me praying, praising, singing, worshipping, speaking? The intent, if the intent is pure, execution is bad. There is a God whom we serve. He will change the curse into a blessing. If the intent is bad, execution is fantastic. That is the God I serve. He will change the blessing into curse. I can never serve God to please the people. But we all can serve God to please God, and in whom we can see his children who are pleased. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, not for sermons, not for knowledge. What if the Lord tells all of you, oh my brethren, This flesh standing in front of you, he is worthy, insincere, not called by me. You know what you do? Just pray until I remove him. Pray. Just pray until I clean him, wash him. Pray. Either way, you are getting filled by the righteousness of God. House of God is house of prayer. We are not here to have our own tables of restaurant and want people say, I want this sermon today. I want this flavor today. I want this. We are not in a restaurant to order the food. We are in a tabernacle to be soaked in the presence of God. He decides today for you sackcloth, today for you purple robe, today for you naked, today for your encouragement, today for your chastisement. Let him decide. If you truly believe in God's word, you would truly believe in the authority of God. He holds the altar, not the man. He removes. He chastens. He makes. He destroys. He do all. What we do, Lord, I trust and I believe. I am the David in the valley. Whatever happens to me, I believe in you. If you believe, you will see him. Last verse. Now, Joab killed Absalom because there was no one to take the place of Absalom. There was no Ittai for Absalom. There was no sincere servant for Absalom. He was hanging between heaven and earth. Now, look at the words of David. Verse 32. Same chapter, 18. 32. And the king said unto Hushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Because he gave a command. Is the young man Absalom safe? And Hushai answered, the enemies of my lord, the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate. He was moved. When you hear some tragic news of your loved one, your flesh cannot stand. No, I have seen. People can't walk, they'll just fall. The moment they hear the news, they will lose strength on their knees. They will lose strength on their hands. They will fall, collapse. Flesh cannot stand such news. Abraham sat at the gate and wept. As he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son. Father's love at full force. I would have died for you, my son Absalom. If not, the lack of understanding that separated me and thee. God told all of us, I don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked people. Return and live unto me. Live in me. Now Joab, being so sincere still, he scolded David, why are you weeping? People are feeling the scare because of you. Now verse 7, chapter 19, verse 7. Job says, now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night. What? Job is telling David, I swear in the name of the Lord. I hope you all remember 10 commandments. Because 10 commandments have become so basic for us now. 10 commandments, I know. Is it? Not even the first commandment can be followed by this flesh. Not even the first commandment we can follow without His grace and mercy. 10 commandments are not basic, it's a foundation. You can see the entire Old Testament fails in 10 commandments. 4,000 years of failure. He came and put everything straight on Calvary by His love. Now, He says, there will not tarry one with thee this night. He threatens David. Not even one will be left, David. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee before from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king that sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king. For Israel had fled every man to his tent. Every man to his tent. It should remind you, when Moses worshipped God, Joshua stayed in the tabernacle, depart not. Every man went to his tent. Now, Absalom is gone. After this, I will just cover by speaking, so that we can't read all the chapters. Shimei repents, David gives him grace. Abishai tells, no, David, I want to kill Shimei. Please. He spoke evil against you, I want to kill Shimei. Shimei repents, David forgives Shimei. Abishai could not forgive Shimei. even after told him, don't do this. So, Joab was warned by a certain man. Abishai was warned by David. Abishai was also warned again by David in the next chapter, because Shimei saw David came back as a king. Shimei went and asked for forgiveness because he was fearing his own life. As I said, that repentance will do nothing. Repentance means change. I change after I repented. If I don't change, that repentance is a drama. The lips are praising me, worshipping me, but the hearts are far away from me. The Lord spoken this word. So Shimei was repenting, but it was not sufficient. Now, I want to skip a few chapters. We will cover this later as the Lord leads. David restores himself as a king. Absalom was killed by Joab. David mourned. But the Lord said, I, the one who bring the evil upon Absalom. On the cross of Calvary, do you really think those people had the power to bring judgment upon the righteous judge? Do you really think those people who were screaming, they were nothing but dead dogs like us, crucify him, crucify him, all those barking noise can kill the Prince of Life? What killed him was not the people. The sin of us and the love of him for us, he could not control his love. He decided to let go. And that let go, he said, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? Because he has to be forsaken, dropped, come, hit the bottomless pit, hit the ground, hit whatever the valley, he should go and rebound to carry all the seeds, quicken all of us to life by the power of resurrection. For a moment, for a while. Book of Isaiah chapter 53. You please meditate 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2 and 3 by God's grace. I'm not reading the chapters here. But what happens? David, before the last days of his life, he gave praises to the Lord. He sings song. Then he called Solomon. He gave him advice. My son, my seed from Bathsheba, the wife for whom I made a mistake, committed an unrighteous act, went through all of this. My son, fulfill this, destroy all the chaos and confusion. Only then thy kingdom shall be established. What? Thy kingdom shall be established. The son of David who came to divide in the flesh, in that kingdom, Solomon took one by one. But Solomon also gave another chance to Shimei. Shimei, please go to some other place. Don't come here. Shimei take heed not to the word of the king. He came back and king had to send the servant to kill him. So all, I'm not going to read all of them because they were all destroyed. There is no life in it. But what is life for us? Why they did? What they did? What is there for me to learn? Am I the Joab? Am I the Abishai? Am I the Abner? Every name that we read, we apply on ourselves and see where we stand. The Lord will wash us. Solomon executed the judgment. Kingdom was established. Amen? Now we read book of Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? How beautiful the word arm of the Lord revealed. When God was destroying the Egypt with plagues, the magicians, they could not perform a miracle what God did through the prophets Moses and Aaron. They went and told King Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. What? Go read that. Finger of God. Because they could not do what the other two did. They brought 10 plagues. Now, the scripture says the Lord revealed the arm of God, the hand of God, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Don't deny, we all want to look beautiful. We all want to look beauty in our spiritual life. God's elect. See, God's mighty hand upon me. I am protected, shielded. I have a perfect life, perfect routine. God is with me. I look beautiful. John the Baptist lost his head. Stephen was thrown to be killed. Every sincere servants of God, they thrown as lambs for the beast to devour when the Lord wanted. But in that blood, in that righteous blood of Abel, there was a cry unto him. And that cry, what the Lord did was mighty. Mind cannot process. Amen? Now read this. His beauty, we can't desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Carried our sorrows, my brethren. Yet we did esteem him second, smitten of God. What? Smitten of God. What was the last plague? The firstborn were killed by God in Egypt by the plague. But before that, there was a Passover. Before that, there was a killing of the Passover. Before that, there was a blood applied on the doorpost. Before the Lord destroyed the firstborn. What is your name? The church of the firstborn. Amen? Born of a spirit. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Never forget that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. Forget not his wounds. Forget not his sacrifice, his shame, what he went through for you and me. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. Wow. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's the burden I received on 7th of May. And until now, by the grace of God, I myself learning together with you all. We all learn to go and erase all the confusion. To make sure that thin line of boundary of this flock is clear for us to see where we should stand. How far we can walk. There is a boundary in God's church. There is a boundary in the prisoners of Christ. There is a demarcation. The Lord has drawn the line. We are drawing the line with him. We should know foundation. Ark of the covenant, the purpose of God in you. The wrath of God that is not to be ignored, but to be escaped, but to be known. The last verse. He, because we were like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. The moment you think about the wrath of God, you should remember, the Lord had placed the iniquity of us all upon him. Wrath of men worketh not to the righteousness of God. But what was laid upon him worketh towards the righteousness of the dead trees, you and me. Trees of righteousness. Do we desire the breastplate of righteousness? It tells, hit me on my chest. I will endure. Because the Lord of righteousness is with me. I'm not going to run from because of the, it's a mercy. Mercy rewrote my life. For me to embrace the breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. The spirit of truth. The feet of peace. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Remember what David did? Yet he opened not his mouth. If he speak, gone. Book of John says, he answered him not. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off. Karat, cut off. Kima, the cup of wrath. Shalom, the peace. Zam, the wrath of God. Last Sunday I showed. I had no intention to go deeper. I just showed the image. Because in that image, you should see the doorpost blood applied. If you are not looking for knowledge, you would have seen it. Doorpost blood applied. The Hebrew word. During those times, when Moses spoke to Pharaoh, he said, the Lord of the Hebrews will do this. The Lord God of the Hebrews will do this. The word Aleph should remember us what is oneness. The Savior whom we serve. The blood that is applied on the doorpost. The sacrifice of the Passover, the Lamb. Amen? We will go. Last verse. The living, he was cut off the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Second, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What is the joy that was set before his cross? Whom we are speaking now? He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When we sing the song, satisfy my soul, O Lord, may the Lord remind us what satisfied him. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. My brethren, he poured out his soul unto death. Book of Revelation says, the wrath of God, the full wrath of God, will be poured out in 7 vials of wrath upon earth. Poured out. In the land of Egypt, the Lord smote, strike in plagues. There was no word of poured out. In the book of Revelation, the wrath of God is poured out. Strike, cast, pour. Remember these 3 words. By God's grace, we will continue next week. And he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, you and me. When he say many are called, he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. By today, by God's grace, we close the life of David in our life. What we should learn from his sons, from his servant, from the wrath, from the righteousness, from the grace, from the mercy, and how the Lord established the kingdom of the Son. Yet the Son fell later. Now, book of Isaiah reminded us, everything fell upon him because of you. The word wrath of God too should remind us, because of me. When you sing the song, because he lives, sing it, because he died because of me. Then we will be humble. By God's grace, I pray the Lord lead us to close this season of soaking ourselves in the Word of God, to learn the wrath of God as we move on to the new season as the Lord leads. Remember the names as we pray and close. Wall was built by Nehemiah the builder. Temple was protected by the king Hezekiah with the people. It was all about the people. People of Israel, from the line of Abraham, from the promised son of Isaac. But the people of Lot, the family of Lot, the Lord delivered from destruction, Sodom and Gomorrah, which reminded us what happened to Rahab the harlot. Children of Israel, Aaron being the high priest, yet he lost his 2 sons. Temple, where the Lord's flame must be kept. Prophet Eli was so slacking, slept, and the 2 sons fell. They died in the battle. He could not hold his peace. He fell and died. Neck was broken. Kingdom and household. This is where we meditated all these weeks. David, king. The Lord says, son of David. His kingdom shall be established. His household will be redeemed. And the Lord called all of us, the redeemed shall return to the Mount Zion. Amen. Let's go before the Lord as we pray. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you are righteous. Teach us, Lord, to accept the fact, the reality, the truth, that you are in complete control of our life, of the fellowship of God, the household of God, the church of God, the ministry of redemption, the ministry of reconciliation. You are in complete control. May you bless us to yield to thee. May you bless us to submit to thee. May you bless us to surrender our life to thee and hold peace in the word of God, not against the word of God. Hold our silence, hold our utterance, hold our prayers, singing songs, praise, worship, crying, rejoicing, all that we do. May you bless us to do it. It is acceptable inside the tabernacle, inside the temple of God. The territory of the flock where we can go and eat. May you bless us, Lord. Remind us, Lord, the territory of the holy city, New Jerusalem. Bless us to stay within the house of which the blood was applied, that we shall not be consumed by the wrath, but rather to commune with you inside the house. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear.